All right. So good to see you guys here this morning. And today's an important day. Today we celebrate, I mean, of course, the seniors and even the people that are transitioning into a new season. But most important, I don't know if you've recognized the theme of our worship this morning. It was all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is very important in the Christian calendar. It's something that we observe in terms of what the power of the Holy Spirit did as He came unto the disciples and now available also to all believers. And Pentecost, you know, when we talk about the word Pentecost, it can be a word that we can't even be scary, like a word that we don't fully understand the meaning of that word, Pentecost. It's not that scary, okay? The word Pentecost, penta, means five, okay? That's where you get the word pentagon. You know, penta, five, and gon in Greek means side. So five-sided, that's where you get the word pentagon. But Pentecost, kos is in Greek, it's the power of 10. So penta is 5. 5 to the power of 10 is what? 50. That's it. Pentecost means 50. Scary, right? It just means 50. What is 50? It's 50 days after the ascension. Well, 50 days after Easter. So to make it kind of like easier to understand, it's kind of like the last Passover celebration. But for us, in our calendar, the Christian calendar, it's Easter. So Easter Sunday this year was March 31st. Was that right? March 31st was Easter Sunday. So you count 50 days, including March 31st, and which is May the 19th. That will be today. So today is Pentecost Sunday, 50, okay? Now, Pentecost is more than just a number, right? It's more than just a date on the calendar. There's a special meaning to it, and it ties in with the Holy Spirit, okay? So let me read to you an account that will kind of like a little bit give you a little bit more context of what it really means for us as believers when we talk about Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, written by Luke, and is giving this account of something, an event that just happened. It happened in their lives, and when we read this account, it talks about that the numbers make sense, and it gives us a little bit of a time frame to for us believers now to figure out when is the day of Pentecost. Okay, here we go. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. When the ascension of Christ, right? After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the disciples he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. I don't know if you read the story. For 40 days after the resurrection of Christ, he appeared. He appeared and he walked with the disciples. Remember Thomas the doubter said, show me your scars. And he took his hand or his finger and he put it in the side of Jesus. There was many proof of what has happened. So he appeared for 40 days and he spoke about the kingdom of God. See, Jesus was always teaching. Even after he came back, he got into that teaching mode and he's teaching the disciples of the kingdom of God and what is to come. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now, this is important. This is where we get our message this morning. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So this was not something brand new. This is something that is already spoken and taught the disciples, but now he's reminding them again of the promise of the Father. But the main instruction here in the word is stay and wait. That's where we get the title of our message today, is stay and wait. Wait for what? Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now we can do the math, because he was here for 40 days. So we can do the math on, if we say Pentecost is 50, so 40 minus 50 is 10. So they waited for 10 days. But for the disciples, they had no clue how long. They had no idea, because Jesus' command was to stay in Jerusalem, don't leave until the promise come. But Jesus did not give them a time frame. Have you ever been in that situation when you've received an order, a command from God to stay in a place and wait? You don't know what you're waiting for. You don't know how long you're waiting for. But you've heard from God to stay and wait. It might be a job. It might be an assignment that you have, that you've been given by God, but you've been given this assignment without any other instruction but just to stay faithful. You don't know what else to do but to stay faithful and to stay obedient in what God has asked you to do. Stay and wait. That's exactly what they did. They stayed and they waited. Now they were totally clueless until Jesus gave them a little bit more in verses 5 and 8. And Jesus said, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days," again, they don't know how long, "but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you." So the Holy Spirit right there is that gift that we've just read in this account, that the gift is coming, and it's coming from the Father, just like he promised. And by the way, the gift is the same for us believers today. It was not something just for the believers of the time and for the disciples. It's the same promise for you and I today. So today we've come to church and we've gathered in this one place, and we are hoping that we'll have an encounter with this gift. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to all believers alike. There is no a measure of the Holy Spirit in this believer, because he's been serving God for a long time and he has a title like a pastor, an apostle. No, it's for all believers alike. And Jesus' last and final instruction was to do nothing else but to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. So the focus of our message today is stay and wait. Now, if we are honest, you know, staying and waiting is not something that most of us, we don't handle that very well, because we want to be on the go. I mean, we wait all the time, and I believe our life is structured around waiting. Okay, we wait. We go to Safeway. We have to wait in line for somebody to check us, you know, get our produce and get everything checked out and everything else. We go to the doctor, same thing. We go to the bank. We have to wait. I believe God has structured our life in such a way that waiting is part of it. Waiting is part of everything that we do. And there's always a good reason while we wait. You know, like even now, you know, we're sitting here, we're kind of like, you know, you guys are sitting here like, how long is it going to take today, you know? We're going to sit here and wait until we're done with the message so we can move on to something else. But here, the instruction was to do nothing. They didn't leave Jerusalem. Probably during the landscape of Jerusalem at that time was not very good. Okay, the persecution of the church was very present in that place. Remember that Jesus was crucified and they were fearing, the Romans were fearing rebellion. And the people of the Jewish church, they were worried that that's going to spark off something else. That's going to disrupt their way of life. So they wanted people to just go back to their business, go back to their hometown. But Jesus gave them the instruction to do nothing but to stay in Jerusalem and wait. And they did. Because the reason why they waited so that they can be baptized with the Holy Spirit and they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? This is what they're waiting on, but they don't fully understand the Holy Spirit because it was not something that was very well taught even then. And maybe even now, it's not something that the church in general really give a lot of focus on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, right? Co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. So the Holy Spirit is God Himself. They were told to actually wait upon the Holy Spirit. Why? When you are called to do whatever God has called you to do, okay? A doctor, a lawyer, a fisherman, no matter what, a father, a mother, anything that God has called you to do, you cannot do it in your own strength. Would you agree with that this morning? It's not something that you can do in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon you to do it well, to do it with grace, to do it with ease. Standing here and preaching doesn't come naturally. It comes with the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, through me, giving me the words to say, the words to speak, even during my study, guiding me, leading me on what to study, what to read, to bring a focus on what God wants to do. And that's the most important thing in every believer's life, is to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because there's not much we can do without Him. And here's a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. And I thought it was a really powerful way of describing the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. Would you agree? Like trying to do all of this stuff in your own strength can be confusing, can be exhausting, and can be tedious because you're doing it in your own strength. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus flows out of you. It just flows out of you. And by the way, doing the ministry of Jesus is not just reserved for pastors, for ministers of the gospel. It is for every believers. It is something that all believers do. That is the ministry of Jesus. It is moms, dads, graduating seniors. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do what God has called you to do. Otherwise, you'll be doing it in your own strength. And when you fail, you would have the enemy that will come and accuse you of that failure. You won't have the Holy Spirit to come in and remind you of God's word to provide the help that you need when you've fallen. You need the Holy Spirit to come alongside you like a rushing mighty wing, just like what we sang on that song. You need that breath of life to come in, to breathe new life in you, so that you can pick yourself back up again and keep on moving. In your own strength, you're defeated, but you are victorious because Christ is in you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in you. Because Christ is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. But He's promised you and I His presence will abide and remain in us forever. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, that's why He asked them, do not do anything until you receive My presence. My Holy Spirit that will come and remain. And the word that they use in John is abide. Abide means tied up with you, holding you and not letting you go. That is the Holy Spirit. So the meat and potatoes of our message this morning is, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day life? Not just reserved, like I said, for pastors and preachers, but for you, for my son, for anybody that is trusting God to do whatever God has called them to do. Because we realize that we cannot do it in our own strength. We need Him. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Day to day. Number one is, He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. In John chapter 14, it says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. See, Jesus was speaking and teaching them about the Holy Spirit while He was there walking with the disciples. But He also said to them, I'm preparing you because I'm leaving. I'm no longer going to be among you, but I'm going to send someone else who's just like me, my co-equal with me and co-equal with the Father. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. See, there is no distinction there. There is not one that is above the other. That God the Father would send in my name. And guess what He will do? He will teach you all things. All things. All things about the kingdom of God. All things about how to be a good Christian. A good mom, a good dad, a good husband, a good wife. All these things would be taught by you, to you, by the Holy Spirit. So wait upon Him. Don't do anything until you are able to be filled by the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything. All things that I've said to you. How many of you need a little bit of a reminder once in a while about a word that you've heard, what God said maybe 5 years ago, maybe even during the service? And I really believe that throughout this week, The Holy Spirit will come in and remind you of something that you've heard here in this service. How about knowing the Holy Spirit as your helper, as your advocate, as your counselor? When we look at the word helper, I like to study words, you know. When I study the word helper, it comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means not just the helper, but also an advocate, also a counselor. He's your helper when you need someone to teach you the word. He's your advocate when you need someone to speak on your behalf. And he's your counselor when you need someone to defend you in the presence of your enemies. You need all of that. You need the Holy Spirit. And no wonder Jesus commanded his disciples to stay and wait for the Holy Spirit. No wonder God even commands us right here, right now, to do nothing but to stay and wait upon him. Because without him, we don't fully understand the Word of God. A lot of these things might not make a whole lot of sense to you and I until the Holy Spirit comes in. Because he's the teacher. He's the perfect helper to make sense out of the Word of God. Without him, I would say we are helpless. We are totally helpless. Without him, we have no advocate. We have no one to speak on our behalf. Have you ever walked into a situation where you didn't have to say much? All of a sudden, it was like everybody got on the same mindset. They start understanding what you're going through, what has happened. You didn't have to say anything. But all of a sudden, the advocate did it for you. He spoke on your behalf. How about your counselor? The word counselor refers to the legal counseling. When we talk about the Holy Spirit being our counselor, we are referring to that legal term, counselor. It's a legal term in the Greek. Someone who can defend you. How many of you would want the Holy Spirit to defend you? Where you don't have to even defend yourself. He's speaking on your behalf because he's your advocate. And he's providing that legal counsel because that's his role. That's what he does. You don't have to say much, but you rely on his power. When you rely on his power, he's that perfect teacher that comes in and leads you and guides you. How many times when I was a student where I struggled with, I don't know, something in math or something very simple now that I think about it. But at that time, you're stuck. You're stuck with a problem. And guess what? All of a sudden, you're like, oh my goodness, I remember something that was said in a lecture room somewhere. And then guess what? A connection is made. Oh, I know. I know this situation that I was in. And I know what God did for me. You know who reminds you of that? The Holy Spirit does. He comes in as that perfect helper, the advocate, the counselor that comes in and puts in together the pieces of the puzzle that at that time did not make sense, but when the Holy Spirit steps in, you're like, huh. It's like this aha moment. But the Holy Spirit is gifted in that area where he brings it all together. And he's that perfect teacher. How about number two? He guides us to all truth and knowledge. He guides us through the difficulties of life when things don't make sense. We live in a world where the term fake news is real. We understand the fake news that are out there that is confusing, exhausting, and having us just regular human beings trying to navigate through all this mess. And we're trying to make sense out of something that even the people that are feeding us that information, they don't even understand themselves. So we are watching the news. We're watching what is going on in society around us. How do we navigate that? If you have kids, like my kids, their age, and you hear all this mess that is happening around, you're like, how do I navigate with my family, with my children, with all this thing that we are seeing now? We need a teacher. We need somebody who can be provide some kind of counsel, somebody who can advocate for us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to guide us in all truth and knowledge. Knowledge of what God says. Because God's word sets the standard above everything else. It's not the politicians in Washington that decides how we're going to lead our life. The word of God provides that boundaries that we need. Not someone else. That's the Holy Spirit that comes in to lead us, to guide us in all truth. In John 16, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth. This is how we make a reference to the Holy Spirit himself. He's the Spirit of truth. See, in God there cannot be a lie. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Isn't that what the word teaches us? So here Jesus is reminding us that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. See, there's an awaited moment. There's a time where you have to stay and wait for that Spirit to come. Now, the Spirit is already inside of us, but are we listening to what the Spirit is saying? Are we actively listening and paying attention to what He's saying? It might be in us, but has it come to bring that light in that specific situation that you're dealing with? This is where you say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lead me. Guide me into what I'm dealing with now. And you do nothing but to stay and wait until you hear that next instruction from the Holy Spirit. In fact, you don't do anything until the light bulb of the truth of God's word comes on. Because when that word comes on, the light of His word, it illuminates the darkest room, the darkest season that you might be in, where you don't have the answer to the problem that you're facing. But when you allow that truth of God's word light up that situation, you find Him. You find the guidance that you need to navigate the toughest situation. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. See, there is no separation between what God the Father would say, what Jesus would say, and what the Holy Spirit would say. There is no, one will not contradict the other. They are all speaking the same thing, because He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own. He would only speak what He hears. What is He hearing? And He will tell you what things that is to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that He will receive what will and what He will make known to you. See, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking, He's not coming up with that by Himself. He's only revealing what He has already heard from the Father and also from Jesus. This is where we get the beauty of the Trinity. Not one will contradict the other. They are all saying the same thing. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. It's the same truth that flows from the Father to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, and that truth will never change. See, tradition of the world, the society that we'll live in, they might change. Somebody else comes in, and all of a sudden the whole thing shifts and change. But the Word of God will never change. It will be the same truth that will flow from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit. Nothing will change when you rely on the Word of God. His Word will not change. Your circumstances will change because you're relying on Him to dictate what you do. You're not doing it on your own strength. You're relying on the truth of the Word of God. Number three, He helps us in our weaknesses and intercedes for us. Have you ever had a weak moment? A moment where you're like, oh man, I can't believe I did this. Oh man, I can't believe I said this. But it's too late. It's too late. But guess what? It's not too late. Because you have a helper. You have a helper that comes in and helps you in times when you are weak. And not just that, He's the one who also intercedes for you. Intercedes means He steps into that gap. When He is interceding for you, He's defending you. He's speaking on your behalf. He's making sure that all the pieces are put together. That's intercession. I'm standing in the gap. Don't we do this in church? Where I get a text from someone, Pastor, pray for my family. There's a mom and dad, there's some certain situation going on. Pray for me. What you're asking is intercession. Somebody that can step into that gap and be able to be the one who brings it together. But guess what? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. When I'm praying for you, I'm providing that intercessory role, inviting the Holy Spirit to bridge in that gap. I'm lifting you up as I'm honoring the Holy Spirit in that situation. It gives honor to God when you do that. So when I'm getting a text to pray for something, that's exactly what I'm doing. Number one, I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to come in because He knows everything. And He can provide that intercession that sometimes I don't even know the answer to whatever problem might be going on. But guess who knows? He does. He does. And He will teach us in our weakest moment, how to rely on Him, how to rely on His truth, how to guide us through scriptures. How many times you're like, okay, you know what? I need a word. I don't know. I need a word for me right now. I'm struggling with this. How many times have you found a word by just going through the Bible and say, huh? Look at this. It revives my soul. You know who did it? The Holy Spirit did. A lot of time we don't stop to give Him the credit that He deserves. We don't stop and exalt Him just like what we did earlier today in worship. We gave Him that time and that place of honor. And that's something that all believers, we need to do this on a daily basis. Invite Him to be a part of your life. Invite Him to be that helper, that advocate, that counselor. Don't try to handle it by yourself. That is why Jesus did not give them a time frame. How long must you wait? Wait until you hear from Him. Wait until He comes. Don't do anything until you hear and you experience Him. I believe that should be a common practice for all of us. For all of us. And He says here, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our what? Weakness. Weakness. See, God understands that we are human. We will make mistakes, but He helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. How many of you have been in that situation where you're like, I need to be prayed for something, but guess what? I don't know how to pray. I don't have the words. They don't come as eloquently as brother so-and-so in the church or sister so-and-so. They for whatever reason, whenever they pray, it's like the words are flowing. My words don't flow. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You just need to rely on the Holy Spirit. The last thing you want to do is to compare yourself in your prayer life with someone else. And guess what you do? You disqualify yourself. I can't pray. There is no distinction. God is not rewarding somebody else because they've been saved for 59 years and they grew up in the church. They slept right here. It's not like they got a privileged seat in the house of God because of that. It's not like they've got this direct connection. Well, as a matter of fact, you all do. You have this direct connection with the Holy Spirit. You can pray. Even if you don't have the right words. You can pray. Mr. Ballard, you can pray in Spanish. He understands. You can pray in any language, he understands. I can pray in my language. I can pray in Creole. I can pray in French. He would understand. Because sometimes you're going through stuff that words don't flow as smoothly as what you hope it would. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He says, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Talking about words that we don't even understand. But guess who does? He does. He understands what mess you might be in. He understands the weakness. He understands the pain that you're going through. Sometimes all you do, you're going through stuff and you're just sobbing. Have you ever been in that situation where you can't even explain what you're feeling and tears are just coming down? You can't even talk to anybody about it. But guess who is interceding for you? It's that Holy Spirit. It says, He who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. And this is very important. In accordance with the will of God. That's the perfect prayer. When no words are used. Because you don't even know how. But when you rely on Him. Even though there's no words. But you're just inviting Him. To take part of what is going on. That's the perfect prayer. I would say this is the sweet spot. Because no words can describe what is going on inside. But here it says He searches the hearts and knows the mind. He knows. He knows what is going on here. And whatever He's praying in intercession for you, align itself perfectly with the will of God. It's not based on your will. It's not based on you. It's based off of God, His perfect will for your life. And number four, He helps us to bear fruits. Galatians 5 says, but the Holy Spirit produces. See, this is the active part that he wants to have in your life. He wants to produce fruits. And these are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These fruits, they provide the evidence that God is at work. They provide the evidence that God is at work. Because these fruits, they don't grow naturally. How many of you wake up in the morning all peppy, joyful, ready to bounce? Devin does. I mean, I'm not like that. I mean, I need to have a little coffee. I don't even want to talk to Dawn in the morning. I don't want to talk to anybody in the morning. It takes me a little bit to get that joy, to face the day and to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. No, it is not at 6 o'clock in the morning. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to remind me of Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. After a cup of coffee, yes, it becomes easier. But the Holy Spirit inside of us will remind us that there are fruits that we need to bear in our lives. Like faithfulness, goodness, kindness, self-control. Only the Holy Spirit can do this when you look, opening up the fridge and okay, you know what, that cake was there. Ooh. And self-control comes in and say, you know what? No, you don't. You don't need that. It's not good. Now, who's reminding you of this? It's not the enemy, trust me. When somebody cuts you off on the road and you're driving and like, ha! But then the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Be patient. Show kindness. Show self-control. Don't get mad. Who reminds you of this? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not your good side. Oh, it's the good side like it's reminding me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's time that we call Him by name. Because He's that important. He's co-equal with Christ, with the Father. So it's time that we put Him on the throne of our lives. He's the one that Jesus promised to come to abide in us. So that we can produce each and every one of the fruits that we just now talked about. It's not just words that, oh, you know what, I've read about this. It's for somebody else. It's for you. It's for me. I need that in my life. And coffee. But I need this. You need this. And number five is a seal in the lives of believers. Ephesians 1:13 says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. The gospel of our salvation, that is the message of truth. It's the gospel. When you believe, you were marked in Him with a seal. The promise of Holy Spirit. You were marked with a seal. Now in ancient times, a seal was a legal signature. I don't know if you watch movies when they take like the candle and they drip it on this paper, and then they take a seal, like a seal. Usually they have like a stamp, like a seal. Then they would press it on there and they would put that seal. That is that same seal, that same word that we find here. It's a signature. Legally binding, said, this belongs to this person. Here the word is saying, I own you. God is saying, you are mine. I'm validating you with my seal. It reminds the enemy that you belong to Christ and not to him. It's that seal. Today you have a seal on you that tells the enemy, hands off, God's property. That's pretty awesome, right? Hands off. He belongs to me. That's powerful. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And as we get ready to close, I will go back to Jerusalem. That same place where they were sitting and waiting. Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? The 50th day, right? After Easter. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. If you read that same sentence there in the New King James, it says they were in one accord, in one place. Talking about unity. See, the Holy Spirit is always welcome when there is unity. There is unity in this body. The Holy Spirit is welcome. In any place where there is discord, He's not welcome. That includes churches. When there is disunity, the Holy Spirit stays out. But here it says, when they were in one accord, they came together in one place. It says, suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be like tongues of fire that separated and came and rest upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. See, that's the miracle of the Pentecost. The miracle was not the fact that they spoke in tongues. That was not the miracle. The miracle rests in the fact that that day they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came just like Jesus promised, to be the helper, to be the advocate, to be the counselor, to be the one that leads and guides and intercedes. That day, the empowerment of the Spirit came. That was the gift. The gift was His presence. Just like we feel His presence here, even now. I don't know about you, but I can't do this without Him. I can't do it effectively. You can't do what God has called you to do. Whatever that might be. In your own strength. You need Him. I want to show you a picture. It's a picture of a cell phone and a crying newborn baby. They both have something in common. They both are searching for connection. Your phone does the same thing. Whenever you take it and you're getting ready to use it, something is happening behind the scene, searching for a connection to whatever you want to do on that phone. A baby that comes out of the womb is doing exactly the same thing, searching for connection. Dr. Henry Cloud had this quote. Says, every human comes out of the womb searching for connection. I believe this is something that every one of us, we are hardwired that way. Searching for connection back to God. Sometimes we know it when we receive Christ right away. We're like, okay, you know what? There was a void in my life. But now, I found that void. I found the person that can fill in that void. And that's Christ Himself. So, the one who makes that connection is the Holy Spirit. The one who draws you to Christ is the Holy Spirit. The one who fills in that void is the Holy Spirit. The one who teaches, the one who guides, the one who intercedes, the one who provides counsel is the Holy Spirit. So we need Him more and more. So I invite you to stand with me. And today we're going to do the same thing that the disciples did. They stayed just like you guys stayed. You stayed with us the whole entire service. It's 12:05. You stayed and you welcomed the Holy Spirit. From the beginning of this service, this is what we did. We honored the Holy Spirit. We invited Him in. He was present during the beginning of the service. He stayed the whole time because we honored Him while we study the Word. And He's still here as we close. And guess what? When you get in your vehicles and you head back home, He's still going to be there. When you wake up in the morning on Monday, guess what? He's still going to be there. Wherever you go, He's still going to be there. And the Kelly, when they go to Washington, He's going to be there. Diego Isaiah, when you go to college, guess what? He's still going to be there. Mom and Dad might not be there with you. But guess who's going to be there? He will. That's the promise that we've been given. So we don't have to search for that connection. The connection was already made. The more we honor Him, I'm going back to my cell phone in my head. The more bars we have. the less roaming we do. It's an unlimited data plan. Man, I'm on a roll. Better stop. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We thank you for your word. But most importantly, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings in the joy of fellowshipping with one another, that makes sense out of life when we don't fully understand the complexity of how things are so weird and so out of form. But you bring everything in the right place, at the right time, in the right order. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, because we cannot do this without you. Speak to us daily. Lead us, guide us, teach us. Be the advocate that we need. Be the counselor that defends us. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all, and I'll see you again next Sunday.